Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday morning service. Again, many thanks for adhering to our guidance, the social distancing rules, and for being allowed or directed to sit in a seat that is not normally your own. At the end of the service, again, we'll vacate the premises. The people on my left-hand side will leave via the link corridor, and the people on my right-hand side will exit via the Cooper Road exit. I'm hoping when flights get back to normal, there may be an opportunity for me as a career in the future. I have this morning a citation to read out from Presbytery. The Presbytery of St Andrews will take up consideration of the Presbytery plan for the North Fife cluster at its meeting to be held on Wednesday, the 2nd of December, 2020, at 7 p.m. via Zoom. There will be an order of the day at 7:30 p.m. for this item. The Presbytery hereby cites that a maximum of 2 representatives of the congregation be present, the Presbytery elder and one other. Representatives are invited to attend for their congregation's interest to hear the additions to the report. Details of who will attend the meeting must be registered with the Presbytery office before 2 p.m. on Monday, the 30th of November, 2020. And this is signed the Reverend John C. Duncan, Interim Presbytery Clerk. It was agreed at our session meeting, an extraordinary session meeting on Tuesday, where we actually formulated our response to the plan, that in addition to Elizabeth Thompson, our Presbytery Elder, that I, the session clerk, should be that second representative at that meeting. Thank you, and I'll hand you over to Amos. Thank you.
My sisters and brothers, we are assembled here in God's name and presence to meet with him in our midst in his holy word, to continue to worship and to thank God for his grace and favor over our lives, despite the daily challenges that we need to face. But first, let us prepare ourselves and examine our lives in silence. Let us call to mind our sins and seek the grace of God, that we may come near to him with true repentance and faith. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. And our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 39, the verses 4 to 13. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent, I would not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me, I am overcome by the blow of your hand. When you rebuke and discipline anyone for their sin, you consume their wealth like a moth. Surely everyone is but a breath. Hear my prayer, Lord, listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. I dwell with you as a foreigner, a stranger, as all my ancestors were. Look away from me, that I may enjoy life again, before I depart and am no more. Let us worship God and first Him, all people that on earth do dwell. Let us pray. Let us today worship the Lord with gladness and come into His presence with singing. Let us know that the Lord is God. It is God who made us, and we belong to God. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Let us enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God, blessing God's name. Let us give thanks to God for God's goodness, for God's steadfast love which endures forever, for God's faithfulness to all generations. Let us give thanks for all the gifts we receive. You, God, are our one and only King. We beg your forgiveness for the other kings that we kneel before. Money, power, gossip, self-righteousness, racial privilege, and others. We beg your forgiveness, we who are broken and torn apart by our own doings and undoings. Guide us to be your servants. Lead us to trust in you as the only King we need. Direct our faith in your sovereign power as we strive to follow your Son. Through the power of your Holy Spirit and in the name of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, who taught us always to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, reading from verse 1 to 7. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 to 7. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along, and desire no longer is stirred, then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. The New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 1 to 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 5. Our heavenly dwelling. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Amen. And may the Lord bless to us these readings from his holy word.
Unto God's name be glory and praise. Our next hymn, Come Holy Ghost, Our Hearts Inspire. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, Your word is more precious than fine gold and sweeter than purest honey. As we turn to your scripture, send your Holy Spirit to infuse your word with truth and grace, so that the good news of your love would shine before our eyes and delight our senses, so that we cannot help but respond with wonder, faith, and trust. Amen. I recently read a very insightful story about a 5-year-old African-American boy who will never be forgotten by those who knew him. A nurse took care of this lad during the latter days of his life. He was dying of lung cancer, which is a terrifying disease in its final stages. The lungs fill with fluid, and the patient is unable to breathe. It is terribly claustrophobic, especially for a small child. This little boy had a Christian mother who loved him and stayed by his side through the long hours of ordeal. She cradled him on her lap and talked softly about the Lord. Instinctively, the woman was preparing her son for the final hours to come. One day, the nurse entered the boy's room when coincidentally death seemed to be approaching, and she heard this lad talking about hearing bells. "The bells are ringing, Mommy," he said. "I can hear them." The nurse thought he was hallucinating because he was already slipping away. She left and returned a few minutes later and again heard him talking about hearing bells ringing. She said to his mother, "I'm sure you know your baby is hearing things that aren't there. He is hallucinating because of the sickness." The mother pulled her son closer to her chest, smiled, and said, "No, madam, he is not hallucinating. I told him when he was frightened, when he couldn't breathe, if he would listen carefully, he could hear the bells of heaven ringing for him. That is what he's been talking about all day." That precious child died on his mother's lap later that evening, and he was still talking about the bells of heaven when the angels came to take him. What a brave little trooper he was. Friend, are you thinking of heaven? In chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, Paul has been talking about the wasting away of the outer person, the body, and preparation for an eternal weight of glory. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5, he continues this theme by examining what things will be like in God's presence, our eternal home. And Paul begins with an analogy in verse 1 that compares a tent, the most impermanent of structures, with a house designed to last indefinitely. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. And the earthly tent is, of course, our human body. Our bodies are tents. Temporal things that do not last. These bodies that we pamper and decorate with all kinds of fashionable clothes and jewelry and fine perfume in order to look beautiful and handsome and attractive, temporal things, tents, they are. And if you've been tent camping, you know what Paul means. You know that when it comes time to break camp or strike the tent, The poles are taken down, the stakes are pulled, and the tent collapses, finally to be rolled into a relatively small bundle. A tent is temporary and portable, never intended to be thought of as permanent. But if our bodies are temporal, there is something about us still that is permanent. And that is what Paul means by our eternal house in heaven. And this eternal house is the resurrection body. Paul already introduced that concept a few verses previously at chapter 4, verse 14. And he extensively taught the Corinthians about resurrection bodies in a previous letter when he said, "For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory." You see, Paul is comparing our impermanent physical bodies with our permanent resurrection bodies. And he goes on to suggest that the one is suffering and longing to become the other, which will be glorious. In chapter 5, verse 2 to 4, our text, Paul contemplates our present state. "Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." You see how Paul mixes the metaphors, adding to the idea of a heavenly dwelling, the idea of being clothed. Dear friends, in our physical bodies we groan now, and we are burdened with physical aches and pains, as well as the other hardships of life, and then we die. And what death does is it brings us into a whole new existence. We wish to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And the idea is that the mortal existence will be fully replaced by life with a capital L. And that life concerns the resurrection body, which has been God's intention all along, as revealed to us in verse 5 of our text. "Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come, life everlasting." But you know, friends, sometimes we act as if this physical world is all there is. Oh, we believe in heaven, but don't give it a lot of thought. And for that reason, we don't appreciate the prospect of death, because it feels miserable to think of it, especially when we lack the perspective of the eternal things to come. Death becomes poison and a hopeless imagination. As Friedrich Nietzsche once said, "The certain prospect of death could sweeten every life with a precious and fragrant drop of levity. And now, you strange apothecary souls have turned it into an ill-tasting drop of poison that makes the whole life repulsive." But Paul says, "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God. God has given us life in temporal bodies so tense, but he has also prepared us for eternal things to come." So let me ask you this morning, how do you feel in your body? How is your tent this morning? Are you beaming with the light of the beauties of life? You've got so much energy and strength and hope to go on and enjoy this life as much as you can. But how often do you remember that we are living in tents and in temporal buildings? How often do you think about the temporality of life despite all the enjoyment there is? Now, don't get me wrong. I am not trying to argue against the importance of the body and the need to care for it. We need to avoid the philosophy of the Greek and Roman thinkers who despised the body. For example, Epictetus said of himself, "Thou art a poor soul burdened with a corpse." And Seneca wrote, "I am a higher being and born for higher things than to be the slave of my body, which I look upon as only a shackle put upon my freedom. In so detestable a habitation dwells the free soul." You see, they despised the body like that. But with Paul, there is a difference. He's not looking for a nirvana with a piece of extinction. He's not looking for absorption in the divine. He's not looking for the freedom of a disembodied spirit. He is waiting for the day when God will give him a new body, a spiritual body in which he will still be able, even in the heavenly places, to serve and to adore God. So I ask you again, how is your tent this morning? Maybe I'm talking to somebody, you are groaning. I mean, you are in deep pains, maybe from sickness or bereavement, or even poverty and blackmail, and some form of savage temptation or events of your life that are very adverse. Friend, have you ever heard somebody groan? I mean, really groan, from down deep in their bones. Have you heard someone groan like they were trying to push something toxic out, to let something surface that had been buried beneath a facet of wellness? Like they were just hanging on in the present until that day comes when things are right again. Maybe you yourself have groaned like that. We groan in this life, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened. Consider all the things that weigh down our hearts and lives: death, loss, worry, politics, financial hardships, grief, guilt, marital tension, traumatic events, including the current pandemic that has transformed our way of life in many different ways, each a weight that we carry on our shoulders. And many of these burdens are inevitable and entirely outside our realm of control. So we groan. And our groaning comes from deep grief and profound longing. Grief is born out of loss, the loss of something good. Longing envisions a time when what was good will be restored. So we groan. And we shall continue to groan in this world until we pass on to glory through death into our eternal homes. And so, my friends, even though death is uncomfortable to think about, it is at the same time comforting to keep in mind that the upcoming world, the new Jerusalem, will be a permanent dwelling with no more tears. We are told that we will never ever die if we are true believers. Yes, our spiritual bodies will die, but our souls will get new bodies and live forever in an environment without death, without pain, and without sorrow. That is why Christian people ought to rejoice when one of them dies in Christ. Aristides, a first century Greek, marveled at the extraordinary practice for Christians who died, and he wrote, "If any righteous man among the Christians passes from this world, they rejoice and offer thanks to God, and they escort his body with songs and thanksgiving, as if he were setting out from one place to another nearby." Dear friends, we know very little about heaven. But I once heard a theologian describe it as an unknown region with a well-known inhabitant. Richard Baxter expresses the thought so beautifully in these lines. My knowledge of that life is small. The eye of faith is dim, but it's enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him. To those who have learned to love and trust Jesus, the prospect of meeting him face to face and being with him forever is the hope that keeps us going, no matter what life may throw at us. As Martin Luther helpfully commented, this life is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness. Not health, but healing. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not yet what we shall be, but we are growing towards it. The process is not yet finished, but it is going on. This is not the end, but it is the road. All does not gleam in glory, but all is being purified. Lord, help us to think of our eternal destiny and our eternal home. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we give you thanks so much for your word to us this morning and for reminding us that this world is not our home. Give us that perspective of our permanent home and place with you, and assure us through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we too shall rise to be with you and never to leave your presence again. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our next hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offerings and let us thank God for ourselves and for others. God of new life, out of the abundance of our lives, we offer our gifts to you through your blessing and our willingness to share. May our gifts become a source for hope and love in this church family and in the communities beyond us. We pray for the coming of God's kingdom. You sent your Son to bring good news to the poor, sight to the blind, freedom to captives, and salvation to your people. Anoint us with your Spirit. Rouse us to work in his name. Loving God, by your Spirit, bring in your kingdom. Send us to bring help to the poor and freedom to the oppressed. Send us to speak out and proclaim your justice in the world. Send us to tell the world the good news of your healing love. Send us to those who mourn to bring joy and gladness instead of grief. Send us to proclaim that the time is here for you to save your people, loving God by your Spirit. Bring in your kingdom. Spirit of the living God, may your kingdom come. We pray for your kingdom to come in the final stages of earthly life, in the journey through death, and in the awakening to eternal life. We give thanks that you are Lord of all. Your kingdom cannot fail. Death has no dominion over us. We give thanks that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and our loved ones are with you in glory. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. We commend to your everlasting love those who have died and pray that the light of Christ, which eternally shines and brings hope, may continue to shine on them. Lord, you turn our darkness into light. In your light shall we see light. Merciful Father, Lord of the Church, hear our prayer and make us one in mind and heart to serve you in Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us together rise if you are able and affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn, O for a thousand tongues to sing. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.